I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Dude. I mean, they do. They do!
You know what, Moses? I'm glad you're out of the rotation. They deserve to play. You know what? Play Lindy Waters ahead of him, Moses Moody.
Now, how come you guys won't put that on Twitter?
We do Joga.
It's obviously a joke, Mark. What you say is inflammatory.
It's obviously a joga, not a joke.
Gotcha. Nobody knows what joga is. You got to refresh him.
He just played it.
What does that mean?
We do joga.
Yeah. It's like yoga with jogging is joga.
Thank you. That's all we needed was for you to. It's an explanation sensation is what it is.
There you go. Over under 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes for Moses tonight.
Oh, it's an over.
Okay, why?
Because Utah stinks. Utah's worse than my picks.
Do we know that?
We do.
I don't like betting NBA games at the beginning of the year because I don't know. I don't know what y'all going to do.
126-102. Moses Moody gets that, it's a reclamation sensation as far as minutes goes. It's going to be garbage time for Moses. He goes way over.
Utah on pace to go 0-82 this year.
Utah stinks, bro.
They lost by two.
Two?
The Grizzlies.
Ooh.
Lauri Markkanen had 35 points.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Oh, he gonna get paid.
35.
He got paid.
He already got paid.
Paid in full. Shout out Eric B. and Rakim.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than Lauri Markkanen, they've got nobody. They're terrible. And Steph's playing, and Draymond's playing. This one is an Ottoman game. What's the spread? Warriors by
six and a half. 6.5.
Oh, boy. I would lay that.
I'm not touching it. We don't even know. We don't know who's in.
Fade the Dibber.
Steph and Draymond are both questionable.
Not anymore. I thought they were cleared to play. I thought they were going to.
Did we get that announcement, Grandy? Are Steph and Draymond for sure in tonight?
Yes. DeAnthony Melton is probable.
He's probable.
The other two, Steph and Draymond, are available.
It hurts me that you have to go to Grandy to confirm what I just told you 9 seconds earlier. That's a little bit offensive. You get that, right?
I'm not a journalist, but I'm a journalism major. You need two sources, Dibs.
Gotcha. My first source was Steiny and Guru, 10-2.
Then I'm definitely going to go to Grandy to corroborate. Okay. It's a corroboration sensation.
It's another buck.
Yeah, but we're not listening to not trusting Steiny and Guru. You crazy?
They got it from...
The internet?
Slates.
Oh, well, that I trust.
Okay.
That I trust.
Well, you don't trust the officials, but you trust...
I do not trust
Anthony Slater.
No,
so.
I trust the officials. I'm not one of the people that goes there. I do not think something is afoot.
Well, that's what I got on my thread as I'm driving back.
A lot of people
from
do.
Nellaterra Winery. I was there for a Boy Scouts or Scouts, it's no longer Boy Scouts, Scouts of America event honoring Supervisor David Halbert from Alameda County. And I was there on behalf of or as a part of my Fremont Bank relationship. And it was a wonderful banquet. I gave the introduction to the keynote speaker.
Did you crush?
Crushed it.
You did?
Went off topic, too.
I hope you did.
Went off the notes.
They're not paying you to read a script.
My script was good, but I went off the script. And it was more of a lighthearted crowd than I thought, so I ran a little bit of material.
How'd it go?
I was like 4 for 5 of my jokes.
Okay. What was the bad one? Do the bad one. I want to hear the bad one.
The bad one was I opened up with, hey, I'm Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game, and looking out here at the crowd, I don't even know why I mentioned that, because 84% of you are outside the demographic. There's a room full of old white guys. And, like, a handful of young, like, Eagle Scouts who are 18 and 19 and, you know, a handful of women outside the demo. That one didn't go well.
Did you think they didn't get it or they didn't like it?
Both.
Okay.
Both. But I didn't shy away from further jokes.
So you were 0 for 1.
Early 0 for 1. Struck out looking.
You took an L, But then you bounced back.
I did bounce
back. Good.
But the point of the story is I got in the car and I got into that good old-fashioned 680 traffic because, you know, we got to have road work everywhere.
Sure.
Three lanes get down to one.
I appreciate road work at night, though.
I do, too.
Thank you.
Except
thank
when
you
I'm in it.
Yeah, well, for of course. It's annoying, but please do it at
so
night.
So meanwhile, my phone is...
That was us.
That was you.
Yeah, and I look, was only and it's once like, was me. Only once.
Well, and yours was... Oh my God, you better not defend these people tomorrow.
You better not.
And I was like, oh my God, what did I miss?
I hate referee dibs.
Yeah. I missed the whole thing. And so as I'm in gridlock traffic, and I checked my phone, yeah, because I was basically in park, and I saw the face mask penalty, and I thought, well, that's a face mask.
That was a face mask.
And then I thought about it from the official standpoint, and I realized that where they were, that's really a tough one to see. You can't see the hand on the mask.
Ish.
All you can see is a man's neck getting craned 70 degrees to the side.
Except for he spins all the way around, and you literally, like, I get it. I understand. There's a lot going on in an NFL field. You're human. If you missed it, you missed it. If you're blocked or you're blocked, you can't. But the guy that's literally in the back of the end zone, who has no one between him and Sam, and he's the distance from me to you, to Sam Darnold, when his head spins all the way, it wasn't like a whoops face mask. It was a, oh my God, face mask spins all the way around. And once he spins around, you can see the hand on the face mask. Then the defender puts two hands on the sides of his head, basically going, oh no, what have I done? And everyone just looks at each other. And again, I know what you're going to say, and you're not wrong.
Right, right.
Because people miss calls. And so what we're really talking about is the system of checks and balances that backs that up. And that is the bigger problem. My question immediately wasn't about the guys who clearly had gunk in their eyes. My question is, if you've got this new system where you can immediately radio down to the refs, you guys missed that one. They did it in the Niner-Chiefs game.
Yep.
There was an incomplete pass over the middle to Sky Moore. They called it a completion. And within moments, as Kyle Shanahan prepped to throw the red hanky, they got the radio. That one hit the ground, guys. Okay, we're switching the call, incomplete pass. And that's it. Why can't you use that for this? And I know what they're going to say. Oh, because it's a judgment call. No, it's not. Not this call. This call is no different than judging whether or not you fumbled. Is the knee down or is the knee not down? Is a yes-no question. Did you pull his face mask or not? Yes or no? The answer is yes. That's archaic that they have not said yes to changing that rule already.
Agreed in principle. But what this would do would be opening a Pandora's box of other things that are black and white, such as contact after 5 yards, where a receiver runs down the field and a DB hits him at 5 1/4 yards, and that is now, it's clearly more than 5 yards, and so now that's a penalty. And other things like ineligible man downfield, where the offensive lineman can't be more than 1 yard downfield when the pass is thrown, and now we get into a spot where maybe he's 1.5 yards downfield, and so now we have to call that. Or lining up offside, or the tackle, who we know a lot of times on offense is more than 0.5 yard allowable off the line of scrimmage. So I do think there's a certain Pandora's box element to it. However, I'll say this. When it's a scoring play, and this was a scoring play,
sure,
that to me is where we should be able to look at a scoring play and say, well, God, I mean, that was clearly a penalty, and it was clearly a penalty, and I will not blame the officials for missing it because they're human beings, and I'm looking at it right now. The referee's looking at it. He's looking right at it, and maybe he thought with his eyes that the hand was on the neck.
You can read his lips. He told Sam he got your shoulder.
Right.
He's like, no, he got your shoulder. Sam's like, he got my what? He's like, that was my head.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
this is where, you know, the human being who's looking at it in real time, by the way, not like the rest of us who gets slow-mo instant replay, and then we go right to Twitter, and we're going to crush this poor referee who's seeing it in fast motion real time, and he's, you know, a good 8 yards away. Not quite this close, but I like your point about that.
Pretty close.
And so he missed it.
Yeah.
And so we have checks and balances for so many things, but not that. That, to me, is the problem. It's not the human being who
agreed.
Made a mistake.
I agree. It's not, to me, it's not even, and I'm not trying to make it reviewable. I'm just saying, why can't the ref do that whisper down to the field thing in the ear? Hey, guys, you missed that one.
Right.
You missed it. You missed it. Throw it. Throw the flag.
We have pitch calm now in baseball. Right. We can't have, like, ref calm?
Why not?
Exactly.
And they do. They do. But it can't be for flags. RJ in Napa. Hey, RJ, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Just, I appreciate the conversation. The idea that I have that I feel like fixes everything and just breaks it all down is give each team one challenge per half, use it or lose it, and they can use this challenge on any play at any time for any reason. So you take a away reviewable, non-reviewable, last 2 minutes only from the booth, take all this away. So in that scenario last night, Minnesota's coach can throw the flag and say, hey, look, you got to look at this. It was clearly a face mask. They look at it, they confirm it, and then you move on. It's one of those classic things. It's too simple, too effective, too non-costly. Everybody would love it, and that's and it would solve the problem, and that's exactly why the NFL will never do it. So that's what I got. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, RJ, thanks. You know what RJ is essentially describing is what the NBA has adopted, where you have to almost be strategic about, do we want to use our challenge here? Is this a big enough play? Right, and Steve Kerr has told us before, like, I don't want to do it in the first quarter for a two-point bucket. Like, we got time to recover from that. But if it is like last night was, where the Vikings are already in a desperate situation, and that was a game-ender.
Well, they lose if it's a safety.
Of course, yes, that's a game ender, and so you could review it and apply a judgment call to it, which is what you can now do in the NBA. I don't know if it's perfect, but I get it. It's not a terrible idea.
It's not, and you know, in the NBA, as much as it's annoying when you see a player do the twirly finger and you review it, and as we learned from the WNBA, they don't always get it right anyway.
Fair enough. All right, so David Lombardi is going to join us a little bit later. I got a different reason why there's some angst about this Niners-Cowboy game, and we definitely want to do an anxiety check with all of you. 888-957-9570. With regard to this weekend's game, Scorpions return to Las Vegas with their Coming Home to Las Vegas 60 Years of the Scorpions Las Vegas Residency Show live February 27th to March 11th at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But check this out. Starting next week on Monday, tune into our show here, Willard and Dibbs, for your chance to win two tickets to the March 6th show. Two-night hotel stay at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. And round-trip airfare for two. We'll tell you all the details about how you can win starting on Monday. Willard and Dibs are sending you to Vegas, baby. Okay?
Love it.
888-957-9570. This is related to Shanahan. That I got a little concerned about this weekend. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation, it's Kyle Anderson. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Feels like I'm getting piled on right now.
Well, you deserve
it. You're coming off a loss, so.
You're not just coming off a loss. You asked someone to cover who didn't even win. And you literally...
Damn refs.
You literally said to me...
Thank you.
Like, the one thing I've offered to you in terms of gambling...
Right.
...is when a spread doesn't make sense... Lean into it.
And?
So you didn't lean into it.
Did you?
I told you it was a stay away.
Well, and you also told me.
I stayed away.
You and Grandy both threw your hands up in exasperation. It was an exasperation sensation.
Well, no, that was him. I was
over the fact that I was picking a side you both liked.
No, I did not like a side. That's a stay away. I wasn't going to bet that game no matter what you did.
I wanted to pick the side you bet, so thank you, Dibs, for picking it, because that encouraged me not to bet it.
Like the spread.
Well, if you had any, and I won't use the B word, but we'll just say cojones, tough guy, you would have faded the Dibber, because that's the bit. And
yeah, I should have.
Fortenbaugh, Joe Fortenbaugh on ESPN, he was all about the Rams. And all you Forten fans.
He was right.
Exactly. Yeah. So you should have gone with Joe and faded the Dibber. And I got one for you coming up, the Niner pick.
Oh, crap.
The pick is in.
This is, by the way, the pick.
The pick is so in.
You know this. 5 o'clock on Friday, I'm like natural drunk.
Yep.
I don't even need any alcohol.
Well, we used to drink on Fridays at 5.
I still do, but it's
back at the 5 o'clock pop.
What do I got?
Drink some Safeway Select Soleil.
Yeah, I got a Soleil berry flavor today. It's good.
S-O-F-T.
Yeah, that's good. That's good drinking right there.
Yeah.
But
that's my Dante Whitner right there, my S-O-F-T.
I am now scared of 5 o'clock on Friday because
you shouldn't be. All I do is get the Niner games right.
All you do is ruin the 49er game.
I'm coming off a win on the Niner game.
What do you mean? What do you mean all you do? You haven't gotten barely any of the Niner games right.
I believe they are 3-4, and I'm probably 3-4 also. I might be 2-5.
Yeah, you got the Seattle game.
And
you got the Chiefs game.
And I got the Jets game.
Yeah, that one doesn't count.
It sure does. Grandy, I believe I'm also 3-4 on the Niner games.
Yeah, which, by the way, is not great.
See, you won the first one, 1-0.
Yep. It's not about the record. It's about the concept behind you picking the 49ers. When you pick them.
Let the man talk.
Bad things happen. I don't let people talk on this show.
I picked the Niners. They won. What else have I done?
You are 3-4.
Yeah, you're 3-4.
But you have won the last two.
Niner games.
Yes.
And the pick is in.
Yes.
And all you Niner fans, you're going to love it. You're going to be thrilled.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You want me to give it now? I will.
No.
I'll hold it. This is one of those ones where I actually haven't gone back and forth. Although, I'm hearing you in my head. If the spread looks a little bit crazy, lean into it. Because why is the money coming in on Dallas? Why is Dallas now a 4-point dog?
I mean, that's still a pretty big dog.
It's a medium-sized dog.
It's a pretty big dog.
Well,
it's in the NFL.
Dogs in the NFL this year have done better than favorites against the spread.
Well, especially the big spreads. Those are the 6-point and higher, which this is not. So I don't know if dogs are. Like, just overall, are dogs over 500 this year?
Yes.
They are.
Against the spread.
Against the spread. Okay.
Teams off a bye against the spread, 3-5.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Niners by 12.
Teams with a rest advantage against the spread, losing record this year.
So when are you going to give up this concept that you've been driving home for, 2 months now, that the rest advantage is going to determine the 49er season?
When it actually becomes a factor in the Niners situation, because Kansas City was coming off a bye.
Yeah, but that's the Chiefs.
And they beat you.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
They beat everybody. They're really, really good. They're better than the 49ers.
Were they not favored against the Chiefs?
They were.
Okay.
They were.
Then what are we talking about?
That's a concept, though. That's polling the public. That's not necessarily what's going to happen, obviously. If I had told you before the game that you would not have Debo and you'd only have half of Ayuk, would you think the Niners would still be favored? I'll answer for you, no, they would not.
Well, if I knew that Smith-Schuster would be gone in the first quarter, first drive.
They would not. And for you to put him in the same sentence as the other two is silly. Juju was signed off the street 3 weeks ago. He is not Debo or Ayuk.
Don't have the stats in front of me, but he's probably having as good a year as Brandon Ayuk has had.
I'm going to bet.
Number-wise.
He's basically had one game where he even played and got targets.
Same as Brandon Ayuk.
That's not true.
He had one game where he actually got targets.
No, he had one game where he actually got catches.
Yeah.
No, they are not.
Teams on a rest advantage are 14-18 against the spread this year.
All right.
14-18.
So Niners by 12.
There you go.
Piece of cake.
Yep. You don't want me to pick that.
I don't want to even be here when you make a pick in this game.
Coming up at 5:07.
I'm going to the restroom.
I give you the lock. I'm going to lock it up now. I'm about to bounce back. I'm 2 wins away from 500.
I don't love.
And all your Kyle Anderson drops and your D'Anthony Meltons and Kevon Looney, and that one hurts me the most, to be honest.
Which one, Kevon?
Yeah, just the way he says it.
Yeah, he
does. It's Kevon Looney.
Don't do it.
Listen to Willer and Dibs Friday on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs. Your picks stink.
Yes!
It's the pause.
He's got a little acting chops in him. Yeah!
It's your picks. Stink. The way he brings it home hurts.
Yeah, he's got emphasis on it.
And the fact that it's him.
It's Kevon.
A guy who I famously would say that if your car broke down and you had one athlete to call in the Bay Area, you call him, and he's got jumper cables in his car.
I love that line.
And he's there in 12 minutes.
Yes, and he's got jokes, too.
Hey, Dibs, your battery stinks. Hey, let me jump it for you. You know? Come on, it hurts.
Oh, man.
Whatever, slow-mo. Oh, and Moses Moody. All these guys. I'm trying to have a clean slate this year. Granny's making it hard on me.
Why do you think Steve Kerr held those two down the most in Portland?
Yeah.
He didn't like the way that they were talking to you.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. Because
I've had Steve's back.
No, you don't. No,
you don't. No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
888-957-9570.
Hyena in the room.
Well, listen, I like my laugh, thank you very much, and you should take that as a compliment because you think you're funny. And when I laugh like that, that's mean it actually got to me. I could do a radio laugh if you want me to.
You can do the Steiny
that
radio
one's
laugh.
Fake.
That's one of my better impersonations.
Is he trying to do Kawhi when he does that, or it was an accident?
I don't think he was trying to do anything. I think that was just, that's genuine. Like,
that's Kawhi Light, that laugh. Yeah.
Don't get me started on Kawhi. That guy.
What's wrong with Kawhi?
I mean, he might as well just play basketball with a ski mask on. That guy's robbed more franchises than any player in history.
He brought a championship to one of them.
Not this one.
Two of them, but no, not this one.
Anyway.
Well, this one's not going to win a championship. They're the Clippers.
Right.
They can have a wall and a billionaire and technology that makes shirts fly out of scoreboards if you want. That's great. They're not winning a title. They're still the Clippers.
Just 10 seconds on the Clippers?
Go.
The wall is awesome.
It's awesome.
Awesome. And that thing is so cool.
I would guess 98% of our audience doesn't even know what you're talking about.
The Clippers have a new arena, and they have a section behind the hoop that is, I think, 57 rows straight up, no suites. And the first 18 rows are only diehards who have been vetted, rehearsed, and like you had to apply to be one of those people. And the only job is to stand up the whole game and act like an idiot. Awesome!
That's not the way they pitched it, but yes.
That's my thumbnail sketch.
And Ballmer was in there doing it with him.
Exactly.
Now, you can be, I get it on opening night and the arena's brand new. On a Tuesday in January when Charlotte's in town,
Charlotte.
Are you getting that energy?
Yes.
You are?
I think so.
I don't know, brother. It's still the Clippers.
It is. But,
and I know it's L.A., and L.A. likes new things, so they'll go for a little while because it's got a fun name, and it's got a lot of pizzazz and all this whoop-de-doop-de stuff going on, fancy schmants. But I don't know, man. I don't know how long that's going to – people are going to – I'm going to stand for 3.5 hours and dance because you got me a ticket that I had to spend $800 on.
Probably not that much.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I like it.
A little skeptical.
The vibe is right, and the Clippers are the people's team. This is not, you know, the Lakers where it will cost you $800 just to sit in the bleeds at the crypt.
I wonder what it costs, though, because it's brand new and it's super expensive.
Right.
It's the most expensive arena in the NBA.
Build.
Yeah.
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 But still, I do think that it is, you know, shout out Inglewood, and the Clippers have always been the people's team in L.A., not the bougie Lakers, so... I do think that it's probably more affordable.
I love that they call it the people's team.
That's what I called it.
It's I know, and I get what you mean. It's much more blue collar.
Of course.
But the people's team is the very few people's team is what it is. Like, I get it. It's blue collar. But for every Clipper fan in L.A., there's probably 8 Laker fans.
Right, but the Clippers probably outdraw at least half the league in insofar as, you know, smaller markets and teams that aren't very good.
Yeah, they've got a gajillion people, sure.
Right,
sure,
and I do think that there are Clipper fans, and it's easy to make fun of them.
No, there are.
Because they're clearly the lesser team.
Well, they shouldn't be there. That's all. I got no problem with them in their at their core, but they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be in L.A. I think the idea of two teams in the same city is stupid. I've always said that.
Well,
I think it's dumb.
Yeah, we've had it in New York for a long time.
And if there's one area where you can get away with it, I guess it would be there. But there's too many places that can support teams for us to just be like, you know what we're going to do in Chicago? We're going to have a team on the south side and one on the north side. Why? Why? You all love the Cubs. Let the White Sox go somewhere else so people like them. That the Clippers should be in Seattle. It's the easiest layup of all time.
The Chicago one's a little different because it's clearly a demographic situation between the north side and the south side.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same for the Clippers and the Lakers that you just detailed.
But L.A. is so vast in population-wise, and the diversity is spread throughout. It's a little bit of a different dynamic. And, you know, two NBA teams here in the Bay Area, no, that wouldn't work. And we can't even support two football or two baseball, to be honest.
Well, we could. We haven't. The A's have been supported, and the Giants have been supported, maybe not always at the exact same time.
Right.
But I think that's circumstantial and based on a lot of things that were done to the fans, not by
the
fans.
Agreed, but if you look at the overall attendance numbers of the two teams, the last time that these two franchises in baseball drew a combined, I don't know, 4 million, 4.5 million, it's been a long time.
It's also two somewhat separate metropolitan areas. You're talking about two different major cities. You know, if the Clippers were in Anaheim, I'd feel a little bit different.
Right.
Go to Orange County.
They won't.
No.
Who wants to go to Orange County?
I'm glad they finally left the building.
Yeah.
That's even stupider. I mean,
two teams in one building.
What are we
they
doing?
Do it in the NFL. There's only 30 NFL stadiums. You know that.
Right. I understand.
And so you got two different stadiums that are shared by two teams.
And it's both of them are dumb.
The New York one makes more sense than the LA one.
It makes some sense, except for the part about it not being in New York. And then the second one is literally, it's on my list. It is the Mount Rushmore of ridiculous franchises in sports. The San Diego Chargers
in
are
LA.
An absolute mind-blowing debacle of a franchise.
Who else is on your Rushmore? The Oakland A's of Sacramento.
Well, sure, they've made it. I would argue that the Arizona Cardinals have been. I don't know if they are. Like, it moves a little bit.
Yeah, because they will draw, even though they're never any good.
Yeah.
They still, if you live in Arizona, that's about all you have. You have the D-backs, but, you know.
Let me look.
You get the Cardinals. I wonder
so
who
I
else
get
down
the,
your,
I pick four?
Usually a rush.
Chargers and A's. Chargers and A's are
slam dunks.
They're the two in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Washington Commanders used to be.
Yeah, well, that's for different reasons, though. That's a beloved franchise that was being run like a criminal outfit.
Of course.
Yeah, so they were awful, and they cleaned themselves up. So, good for them. But yes,
yeah. Daniel Snyder. The Carolina Snyder. Panthers would be a candidate to me because they haven't won in forever, and their owner is not somebody who necessarily runs things the right way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that, though. I think if you met all of the white billionaire owners in sports, you'd probably like about three of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And Joe Lacob might be one of those guys.
Would you put the Las Vegas Raiders on your Rushmore?
They're a candidate.
Nice.
They're a candidate. The A's and Chargers have they're in the middle.
Washington and Lincoln.
And then let's bring in some other candidates. Cardinals, Raiders. Let me think. NBA, I'm going to put Brooklyn Nets in there. Let me scan. I don't think anyone else in the NBA probably qualifies. Brooklyn Nets and then Major League Baseball. Let's take a look at you. Major League Baseball.
Well, you have the White Sox coming off a 41 and a 121 year.
Yeah, the White Sox, I guess you could put them in there in this. The Miami Marlins, that's stupid. Like that, I mean, that's just dumb. What are we doing?
Well, they just win every 15 years, that's all.
Yeah, but then they get rid of everybody.
Yep.
That's a bunch of, you know, whatever. So, those are my candidates.
All right.
Yeah. The Tom Brady thing in Vegas sort of gives me a minute of like, I don't know, is that like a sideshow, or are you going to clean something up? Are you going to give it credibility? Is it going to make it worse? Plus, I've said this so many times, I love their stadium. I love their prices. I love what's going on right outside the stadium. Big fan of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's fun.
In general, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know, you know, but I think it's the Chargers in this moment. I think it's the Chargers, it's the A's, it's the Marlins, and it's the Cardinals.
There you go. All right.
In this moment. Ask me again Monday. Maybe I'll sub the edges out.
Yeah.
The Chargers and A's are always there.
Cardinals ahead of the Niners in the NFC West. So there you go.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to bring facts into it, but Niners looking up at the Rams and the Cardinals.
Yeah, they're looking up at everybody.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're in last place.
Yep. First in point differential.
Yes.
Woohoo!
It'll work out. It's going to work out.
What if they lose on Sunday?
Then it's not going to work out.
Is that it? Then it's a must win.
Well, okay. So that's kind of what I meant yesterday.
Right. Right.
They can be 3-5, and I will use my standard line. They are allowed to win the rest of their games. But to lose this particular game in this moment against that team would, to me, be a sign of so many really bad things. So many bad indicators about your team. Now, there's a second thing that I'm worried about with this. Because it already sounds this way for some of you. And I know that a lot of you hate the fact that you get called the lunatic fringe. You know who you are. You're the fire Shanahan people. Mm. You don't like that you're disenfranchised. You don't like that sports media laughs at you and thinks you're dumb. And I know you don't like that. And I don't want you to feel that way. I want to talk to you in a different way. You worry me. You worry me because you do have a voice. And you can be infectious. And if the 49ers lose this game, you are going to gather a bunch of people with you in your bucket. And your bucket is going to get bigger. And it's going to get louder. And it's going to start marching. And it's going to go to Twitter. And it's going to do what you fans, I've always believed, do have the power to do. You don't get to call plays, but you can move mountains. And you can move job status. And I'm worried about you. Because I think that the 49er fan base right now, it is a minority opinion, but it is growing. And because of the frustration of what's happened at the end of seasons in the highest of leverage moments, there are a lot of you who are starting to be heard. And I am very concerned that if this doesn't turn around quickly, that will be at least step one on the staircase of running who I think is a great coach out of town, the same way Philadelphia did. And you can respond and say, well, Philadelphia doesn't regret it. They won a Super Bowl. Right, right. They won a one-off Super Bowl with Nick Foles as their quarterback, and it was on track to them to see them do well with Carson Wentz at quarterback, who has also been proven over time to not only be not good, but he's also a jerk to his teammates, which is why he's had so many different uniforms and has been let go by all of them. And now he's tucked into a situation where they're like, just sit over there behind the best quarterback in the game so you don't ever have to play again because you can't really play.
Oh, he played.
Yeah, right. He came in for one play. That's fun.
Oh, yeah?
So the point is that I don't believe Philadelphia got over on Andy Reid. And Philadelphia has been fine enough, and they went to another Super Bowl. They played Andy Reid, and they lost. Maybe a holding penalty was the reason.
More recent Super Bowl win than the Niners.
Yes, that's to me, that's cherry picking. And I know what you mean, but that's
the
end final result. We have compared Kyle to Andy so many times. And I fear that this is going to end the exact same way.
Well, fears are not founded, and I don't believe that there is a staircase that is being built, even if they lose to Dallas. I don't believe that any fan who is looking to run Kyle, you can build that stairway. It's a stairway to nowhere because the ownership and the GM and everybody down in Santa Clara, they think like you think, which is he's really good at what he does. So there is no staircase to be built off a loss to Dallas. Dallas in week 8. And I don't even believe there's a staircase to be built if they go 9-8 or 8-9 or whatever it is and they don't make the playoffs. None of that actually manifests into anything. So the fans and the lunatic fringe, that group can grow until they actually take action and stop showing up and stop tuning in and stop caring, and the team continues to lose. Then you have a real issue. But right now, he has so much built up credibility and so much built up in the bank that the lunatic fringe has no ability to chip away at that.
But you're not wrong. They can chip away. You're not wrong with regard to at the end of the, I'm not talking about at the end of this year. You're right. He's not getting fired at the end of this year. But these are building blocks, and this is what happens. And if this is what it sounds like when you fall to 3-4 with half your team hurt, we're not even halfway through the season, for God's sakes. And people are so angry. A lot of you, not all of you, but a lot of you are so angry. And you're so out on this arrogant jerk who runs the Niners and always chokes. You're so out on him. And those are the building blocks. This is how it sounded with Andy Reid in Philly. I was working with Bruno when this was going down. I was going to Philly 2 or 3 times a year during this. And it takes on a life of its own, man. The emotion takes over, the rationale leaves the building, and it's gone. So you're right, it's not going to happen this year, but I don't even want these building blocks to start. The Niners have a legitimate, great coach, and I hope he's here as long as Belichick was in Boston. Because he's going to get one. He might get two. I firmly believe that.
He might get zero.
He might.
And he went 130-93 in Philadelphia. And he went 10-9 in the playoffs. And he didn't get one. He got to one.
Yep.
And Kyle's gotten to two. And he hasn't gotten one. So it's possible. But if you want to look at the Andy Reid arc, he went from 99 to 2012. So he got a full 14 years before they had enough of Andy Reid and his damn winning record.
I get it. But my point is he was always a good coach, and I'd argue that they've not had anyone near as good as him since. Despite the fact that you won a Super Bowl with a guy that you dumped shortly later who's now got a dumpster fire in Jacksonville, and now you've got who I think is an absolute clown show who went to a Super Bowl, but has also somehow, I think in recent years, totally underachieved. Go ahead and see the way last year ended. So that's all. You can call it an unfounded concern if you want. It's still there. I just don't like the way it sounds. You got a great coach, and a lot of people won't acknowledge it. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. David Lombardi next hour. We'll take your calls. Here they come. 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kirk. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibbs, your picks stink.
Dude, make sure you have that ready next week when he comes on.
I think he will. There's a penalty now for missing a game in an epic way.
Right, you get Steve Kerr coming down your road.
Yeah, you're gonna get it the next day.
Make sure I ask Steve Kerr on next Tuesday whenever he joins us what my last couple of picks have been before he judges my picks so harshly. Hey, Steve, your rotation stinks. Well, not now because you're 1-0, but
how could it stink?
Go ahead and save that.
Everybody's in it. Who do you want?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Lindy Waters, can he get more minutes?
Who do you want in the rotation that's not? Because everybody's in it.
Totally.
Everybody's in.
He's playing too many guys. What is it, CYO, Steve?
That'll be interesting to see what he does with it tonight. Because I do think a piece of that was the Blazers, don't you?
Well, and a piece of it will be the Jazz, who also are terrible.
Not as terrible. I think there's a much better chance that this is like a game. Portland is not ready to play NBA games right now.
Right.
They're just a bunch of, they look like a bunch of baby giraffes running around the zoo. Like, they're so young, and they're so green. Utah, not good, but, like, they've got a basketball team. They can get you now.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah.
I mean, so they're only favored by 6.5. It's not like they're favored by 17.5.
Right, and they were favored by, what, 7 against Portland, and they won by 35?
Right. Actually, did you not get the news? They won by 36.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Did you hear about that? It's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. Grandy, you didn't hear about this? They changed the score of the game after the fact.
I did not hear this.
The final score of that game was 140 to 104, not 139 to 104. The final score was 140.
Who got the point?
John Sally.
No, not John Sally. D'Anthony Melton. The score operators credited him with an 0 for 2 from the free throw line, and when they went back through it, he hit one of them. So the Warriors won 140.
They missed a free throw that he made?
Correct.
That's hard to do, right?
I mean, I don't know. If you can't see that Sam Darnold's face mask got pulled, then anything's possible.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different
yes, it is.
Bar.
Yeah, but no, that happened. I think it was literally the next day. They're like, oh, by the way, the Warriors got another point.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's something I deal with when I referee CYO on the weekends where, you know, sometimes the score's wrong. And I'll go over to the scorekeeper who's doing it manually and say, hey, you know, what do you have in the score? And they have, like, it's in pen and it's completely done incorrectly. And so now I'm trying to decipher a penned scorebook to corroborate with an eighth grader on the scoreboard. It's like, heck, I don't know which one is real.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a young scorekeeper who's just not paying attention?
Yeah. Yeah. You may know him. Dude, get off your phone, bro. You're on the clock.
I say that to him 18 times a day.
I had to go over to him.
Yeah.
He was a freshman working for me, working with me, not for me, working with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing 6 games in a row.
Uh-huh.
And by game 3, I get it. You're bored to tears. So am I. I got to pay attention. So do you.
It's fair.
Next week, you didn't show up.
Yep. I don't think this job's for me, Dad.
Totally. Totally.
He just wants a job where people leave him alone. And
right?
Guess what? He found it.
Yeah, not with me.
Yeah, I know. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Should we talk to some people?
Let's do it.
Let's talk to some people. Matt in San Rafael. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Before I get to my point, Mark, first, congratulations. Many happy returns.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
The second thing is, I've got someone for your Mount Rushmore, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they are a dumpster fire. Regarding my take, I am 100% with you on I don't think Kyle should be fired, if for no other reason than there is literally no one who is even close to as good as he is. The one thing I hope is that maybe he hears some of the rumblings, because what I have noticed about him is he doesn't seem to learn. He doesn't seem to want to grow and evolve. I watched last night Sean McVay coach an amazing game, and he changes his offense all the time to fit his personnel. And Kyle says, no, no, you do things my way, it will work. Well, it's not working the way it used to, so he needs to change. If he doesn't, I'm worried he's going to have an Andy Reid where he has to lose a job and then learn from it and then come back, and then he'll be the great coach. I hope he does it here, because he can. But that is my biggest concern with him right now.
Matt, it's interesting. Thank you for calling. I wonder about takes like that and whether or not they are just a completely inaccurate perception. And here's what I mean by that, because I know a lot of people feel that way. But I wonder if Kyle is unwilling to change. Well, then how has he moved up through the NFL and sustained as a coach for so long? You can't do that by doing it one way. He's been calling plays in the league for an entire generation, practically.
For me, it's more about what he's doing with this team. Forget what he did in Atlanta and Washington and Houston and the rest of it.
Okay,
what are you doing with this team?
Let's talk about this team. Well, you don't think
let's talk about this Sunday.
It doesn't look different now than it did 5 years ago?
I'm not even worried about 5 years ago. I'm worried about week 2, week 5, and where we are and now in week 8, because you don't have Ayuk, and you probably will have Debo. You most likely won't have Juwan, so what do? You don't have Christian McCaffrey, and so, yeah, you have Jordan Mason. He runs the ball really, really well. Great. So your ground game has mostly been solid with Jordan Mason, but what about the running back as a pass catcher hasn't really been a factor. What about the screen game and the draw game and the quick passing game? I do wonder if he needs to adjust his offense now based on what he has, because you don't have Brandon Ayuk going forward, your best route runner. Okay, maybe Ricky Pearsall can supplant that in game number two, but you've always said you can't expect a rookie really to hit the ground and be super impactful.
It's his second game.
He's allowed to, and rookies have done that. Yes. Puka Nacua last year was amazing week one and week two, but it's more the exception rather than the norm. So if you're Kyle and you go into this game, no Juwan and no Brandon, you got Debo at 80%, no McCaffrey, you got Mason, Pearsall, Debo, and Kittle, what are you going to do with your laminated play sheet to make this work?
I like what you're saying there if you're making it just about now. Felt to me like Matt was talking about something much larger. For example, he said Sean McVay last night, man, that guy knows how to put his players in best position to win. Do you really feel that way, or did he just, he won a game? Like, that's what I mean.
Well, he won a game with everybody back, too.
Right, everybody's back. And are we really accusing Kyle Shanahan of not knowing how to put his players in their best position to succeed? He has turned Debo Samuel into about three or four different things just in his 49ers career. Things that no one was even thinking about early on. Nobody thought about Debo Samuel taking carries out of the backfield in the first couple of years of his career. That hadn't even occurred to people. So I think that they're in a spot. They're in a spot that, in my opinion, it's too early to start painting with a broad brush over how we got here. I think that if it still looks like this 3 or 4 weeks from now, then we can have a different conversation. But to start broad brushing and going, McVay knows what he's doing and Kyle's stubborn. They're literally like brothers coming up in the league. They do a lot of the exact same stuff. And I think that Kyle has made his money based on putting his players in a best position to succeed.
Well, then go out and do it in the red zone.
Yes.
And this year, they're 28th in red zone efficiency. Last year, they were first. And you could say Christian McCaffrey, and you're right, but that does not account for the entirety of going from number one to number 28. And yeah, the offensive line, sure, that's a part of it. Whatever the reasons are, your job as a coach is to make it work. And right now in the red zone, it doesn't work.
For sure.
Last week, you were 2 for 4, and one of those two was an interception that all but ended the game. So your job as a coach is to look at what you have and make it work. And you have a running back who's number two in the league in yards running the ball. You've got a tight end who's number one in football in touchdowns. And you've got Debo back. And you've got your first-round draft pick at wide receiver. So go out there against a defense that doesn't have their number one game record and in general is not very good.
Yeah.
I expect you to go out there and put up 30 on Sunday night.
I agree. Yeah.
Put up 30 and hammer this team into submission.
I'm cool with what you're saying on that. That's very in-the-moment thinking, and I'm totally cool with that. But when we talk about it on the larger view, like Jimmy Garoppolo's got a bank account that would suggest that Kyle knows how to put people in their best position to succeed. Somebody explain. If you don't think Kyle does that, then explain Jimmy Garoppolo to me. Like, how'd that happen? How's Jimmy Garoppolo have $100 million?
Well, I just look at, you know, what Kyle's done. And for me, looking at the small picture is one thing, but looking at the big picture and starting to make sweeping judgments about his failures, that's where you miss me, because I'm looking at his overall rank as an offense in overall yards, total yards, yeah, running and passing. 2019, they were in yards, they were third. Then they went fifth, third, fourth, first, and this year they're second in total yards. So they've been a top five offense in yards from scrimmage the last 6 years. Jimmy G, a touch of Trey Lance, more Jimmy G, a healthy dose of Brock, McCaffrey, Wilson, Mostert, Breida, Mason, Kittle, Debo, Sanders, I mean, all these guys who've come in and out, and all they've been is top five in yards, and they've been good in the red zone before this year. So I look at the big picture of Kyle, and it's, what are we talking about? But I look at the small picture of Kyle,
that's
and
fair.
It's, come on.
That's fair to me. That
red zone, you stink this year.
That's fair to me.
And your quarterback he's regressed a little bit.
I think that's feeling last week a little too much.
Well, if
he's going into the game, he had 9 touchdowns, 4 picks, was one of the top eight or nine rated QBs in the league. And
you
we
know where he is now in rating.
Yeah, it's way down.
Like 17th.
Yeah, because, that's like fully based off of one game. We thought everybody would have said he's having a good year. He's having a good year. It's not a great year,
right?
But he's having a good year.
Well, and the thing about regression is he's regressing from where he was, which Kyle's right. It was one of the 10 best seasons a quarterback has ever had.
Sure.
In quarterback rating. So, yeah, there was going to be some regression, but last week to me it was a little bit of an alarming regression.
It was cold water, but it was one game.
Yeah, it was ice cold water.
Yeah.
The again, old, that was the old bucket challenge.
The ice bucket challenge.
The ice bucket challenge. Which...
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.